Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So no one gets married with the thought of getting divorced, right? To say, hey, we'll get married and, you know, by the way, we might part our ways. And but anyway, we'll take a risk, we'll see, and we'll go, We'll hope that it's blessed and we'll move forward. I don't think nobody approaches marriage like this. No one also starts a family thinking that it will fall apart one day, right? When you have your little one, you bring them into this world. You're all excited to have an amazing family, and it's supposed to be like that. But the reality is that there's lots of different challenges we face, right? And so in this series, we want to talk about making our home a nest, a place where we're excited to go, and a place where it is a safe place to be. And so I'd like to just lay the foundation this morning on this topic of building an amazing home where it's life-giving, where it's safe, and where it's healthy, where it's a good place to be. And so that involves, first, it involves to have healthy relationships and to see that relationship matters, that we value the people around us. And to have a haven, I believe that needs to happen. We need to value the people that we live with. We need to see them the way that God sees them, and we need to see them for their value. And I believe that we're called to nurture and care is where we are there for each other. And if you want to have a nest and to make your home a haven, I think that's a necessity, that you nurture and you care for those around you. And when it comes to having a nest, making it a nest too, is that we wanted to make a shelter from elements and predator, because it's tough out there, right? It's not easy out there. So we want to make it a shelter against the elements of life and the predators. Not that we can protect our kids forever, but at the same time, we wanted to make it a safe place. The heaven, it's a haven, it's a safe place. It's founded on the love of God, where there's joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. It's a good place to be. And also when it comes to making it a haven, is that you want to make your home a training center where you train your kids and your family for life, but also for mission, where you impart to them the calling to make a difference, because we understand that life is about purpose. And so when it comes to having a marriage, a family as a haven, we understand that it will take some of our involvement. It won't happen by accident. The reality is, no one wants a home where it feels like a constant battle. No one wants a home where fear and unpredictability are present. No one wants a home where disunity and disconnection are the norm. No one wants a home where criticism, negativity, and put-downs are the common language. No one wants a home where vengeance wins, where it's all about winning and to have our way. And no one wants a home marked by selfishness, lies, and sin. No one wants a home where expectation doesn't go both ways. No one wants a home where unforgiveness and unresolved issues become the culture. No one wants a home where emotions are out of control, like anger. And no one wants a home where it's cold and unaffectionate. No one wants a home where compassion and care are missing. And no one wants a home where there's no loyalty, trust, and jealousy is present. Last one, no one wants a home where Jesus is not the foundation. I started at 5, and then I went to 10, and then I went to 13, and I could go on the list. But the reality is that we all make our home, right? It's all up to us to do and to step in our home. And the reality is that we're called to choose what is before us. Like it's like when you get married, you're starting a home. It's not It's just a start. And when we get married, we're all excited that we will have a home, but we know that we have to invest time and effort to see our home be built, and it's all based on choices. It's like one of the dreams I have, and it's one day to be able to be on the front porch. I will say on the back porch because it's more comfortable in the back, to rock with my chair and look at my wife and say, it was an amazing journey, right? And then she rocks with me and we're saying, yeah, it was not always easy, but it was amazing. And then I would look at her and say, what's your name again? Not really. But it's to have this goal and this heart to see our relationship grow. And it's important for us to see that. It's important for us to realize that when it comes to having a healthy marriage, it doesn't happen by itself. It's effort that we put in. It's a commitment that we invest. But we choose our foundation. We choose the material to build our home, and we choose to commit to the building. And it's one decision at a time. And so what I'd like to talk about this morning, how do you make it a home? How do you make it a nest? How do you make it a haven? Well, it starts with the foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, it's not going to go well, as you know. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. When Paul is writing this, he's talking to the church, meaning that don't embrace other doctrines. Focus on what was shared to you. Jesus is that rock. But also when it comes to our lives, when it comes to our marriage, when it comes to our family, when it comes to our kids, one of the things that we need to understand is that we want to have Jesus as our foundation. And for you that are not married and you say, realize that what we'll be sharing in the next few weeks will be very positive for you, and I invite you to take notes. So when it comes to having a home, I need to realize that I want Jesus as my foundation. It says in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord build a house, its builder labors in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stand guard in vain. And so the Lord builds the house. And this is where the house starts here. For me to have a healthy home, to make my house an oasis, to make my house a nest, I have to realize it starts with me. If Christ is not present in my life, I won't be able to build a house that is healthy like Scripture talks about. It has to start with my heart. If I don't let God in my heart, I don't let him change me, I don't let him tenderize my heart, I don't let him work in me, I'm not going to be able to do it. So when it comes to our home to be healthy, it's way more than reading a self-help book, but it's to see God do the changes inside. If the Lord doesn't build a house, the laborers labor in vain. And so what I need to see is God in me. What I need to see is to take time to relate with God, to see God move in me, change me, empower me, giving me what I need to see and understand. Because the challenge that we have is that we all have viewpoints. We all have filters. We have filters from how we were raised. We have filters based on our response to different situations. And the tendency is to look at life through our lens. And so we want to go before God and say, God, how's my lens? How am I seeing my relationship? Am I on track? Am I doing your will? Am I seeking, am I on track when it comes to your word? So it's important for us to know that. So I believe that God wants to, first of all, get a hold of my heart. He wants to bring healing in my heart. He wants to remind me that life is about purpose and making a difference in the life of others. But if I want to have change in my house, if I want to have change in my relationship, it starts here. Can you say to your neighbor, it starts here? It starts here, right? It starts here. Say, God, move in me. God, renew me. God, heal me. Restore me. And it's so easy to Velcro hurts and lies that becomes truth based on what happens to us. So when it comes to having a healthy home, I need to have a healthy heart. Does that make sense? Having a healthy heart, and that is to let God in. Let God speak to my heart. Let God bring truth to my heart and let him heal me, restore me. So we want to see that, right? I think it's a huge, huge reality. I look at James chapter 4, verse 1. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? And then he goes on, he says, you have not because you ask not. But when you ask for selfish, with selfish motive, and your focus is not on God's will. But the reality is that when it comes to the arguments and the challenges that you face in your marriage and in your relationship, you have to realize that the source is this in James chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrel among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? It's a heart issue, right? It's a heart issue. So we want to see God move upon us and touch our hearts. So our foundation has to be Jesus. And it's not just one time, but this is why we entertain a relationship with Jesus. We build ourselves up in him, where Christ arises in us and where the Holy Spirit is able to glorify Christ in our lives. And we understand it's not just one-shot deal. It doesn't just happen here, but it continues when it comes to doing life and how we respond to the people around us, that we would have a heart that is tender to God. Second thing is, I need wisdom. I need to see the framework of my house be wisdom. Look at this. Let's look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. It's a funny verse when you think about it. The beginning of wisdom is this, that you're waiting for something huge to come. It says, get it. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. So you need wisdom? Get it. You get it in his word. It says in James chapter 1, if someone needs wisdom, ask God. And then he says, get insight. Meaning that you want to understand. You want to see beyond your own perspective and beyond your own filter. You look at your marriage. You look at your kids. You look at your relationship. You say, God, give me your insight. Help me see what I don't see. Help me understand and help me to grasp the reaction, the action, the behavior, and all of that. God, let me see. And I think it's important for us to understand that if we want to have healthy relationship, we need wisdom. And so wisdom is found when we go to his word, when we look at God's character. How is Father? How is he? Well, a father, according to Abba here, is he gathers his children together. And it's linked to the word of God. It's linked to the character of Christ. And like I said, it's not an overnight thing. It's a journey. And it's a building up. Like me and Micheline, we've been married 38 years. And 2 weeks ago, we went to bed and things were not like they should have been. And in the morning, we had this conversation. And it was a hard conversation. It was not, like, it was heavy. We had to open our hearts. We had to share what was inside. And so in this conversation, I said things, she said things. And then we realized that, hey, we gotta fix this. And after 38 years, you would think that we should be pretty fixed, right? But the reality is there's always issues. You know, unresolved issues always gives birth to more. If things are not resolved, it just comes back. For a little while, you can put it on pause. But the thing is, if you hope that it doesn't come back, it's going to come back again. And so you have to sit down and you have to navigate through it. You need to address it. And then you grow. And then you love. And then I believe after a conversation, there was greater love towards each other. But it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It doesn't happen by accident. It's a decision you have to make. It's like, I want to see work. I want to see this work, right? And so I've got this verse. These verses, I think they're so amazing. It's in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. Amazing verses on seeing our home as a nest. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Wow. What it says here, it starts by choosing the right way wisdom. I choose to build my life according to the character of Christ, according to the word of God. I choose that. But the next level, it's to apply it It's to grow as we learn to live it out. And then at the end, it says, it becomes full of life, room filled with rare and beautiful treasure. And so what it talks about is that in that house, there's frames all over. There's colors all over. And it's a beautiful house to be in. It's like when I was talking about rocking on this deck with my wife and say, wow, what an amazing journey, right? And so we are aware that our decisions today and our decision that we are, the influence that we have is linked on the decisions we make today. And so we understand that if we want to have an amazing future, because I need to realize that whatever I decide today doesn't stop at me. It has a ripple effect for generations to come. So whatever I decide today in my relationship with my wife will influence my kids in their decision, in their walk with their spouse. And it will influence the grandkids and so on. It has a domino effect. So I need to realize the importance of me making and taking the right decisions and to do it according to the word of God. And here in Proverbs 24, verse 3, what a great picture. It's you choose the right foundation, you focus on wisdom, and then you apply it, and later on, your house is amazing, you know? And the thing is, it's not based by luck. It's something that I'm called to step in. It's like dealing with stuff in your heart. Let's say, for example, you struggle with truth. You have a problem to say the truth. And so you say, God, you hear yourself speak, and you say, God, I don't like it. I don't like this. I want to see a change. Then you go to God. But the further I'm rooted with lie, it takes a little longer to unroot it. But you go before God, and you say, God, I want freedom from this. And then you journey, and then it comes again. Oh, God, I don't want to see this. And then you journey with God, remove that root, remove that root, remove that root. You know what's going to happen long haul? That root will be removed. And so that talks about effort. It talks about commitment, right? And so it's important to see that. I need to realize that when I reject God's wisdom, I also forfeit his blessings. When I choose to do life not according to the word of God, I will forfeit his blessings. And sometimes we think that we can live the way we want and expect God to bless us, right? It's like someone that is going to Brandon. He's just on the edge of Brandon. Then he says, God, but really he wants to go to Winnipeg. And he's there at the town in Brandon. God, I wish it would be Winnipeg. I wish it would be Winnipeg. No, you're getting to Brandon. It's your decision you made. So God, put me on the road to Winnipeg. God will probably say is, God, you got to change direction. You got to change your GPS. You got to change your attitude and so on to go into another direction. But the problem is that, listen to this, we expect to have godly results and not doing it God's ways. We believe that. And then we find ourselves in a place that we don't want to be, and then we're mad at God. God, you're not faithful. How come this didn't happen? How come you didn't move? And God said, hey, you forsake wisdom. You went your own way. You ran your own race. And so what do you expect? But I thank God that he's a redeeming God, and he's able to redeem us, but that redemption doesn't mean it's going to be like it's going to be God fixing it all on his own. You'll have to have a heart change. You'll have to change the direction of your feet. But it's important to realize, for us to realize that God made us to have healthy relationship, but at the same time, we're called to walk in his ways or not, right? And so what we need to realize is that God wants to empower us to do his will, but the bottom line, I have to decide if I will or I will not. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Another amazing, amazing text. He says, my child, pay attention. Can you say that to your neighbor? Pay attention. Pay attention. It's fun to say that to people, eh? Pay attention. Especially Pete, pay attention to what I say, right? My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Can you say that to your neighbor? Penetrate deep into your heart. for they bring life to those who find them and healing in their whole body. When it says whole body, whole being, it brings healing. We are familiar with verse 23. Guard your heart above all things, for it determines the course of your life. But we forget verse 20 to 22, where we're encouraged to see the word of God take root in us, right? He says in verse 24, avoid all perverse talk, stay away from corrupt speech. What comes out of my mouth, is it edifying? Sometimes we should stop and hear what we say. We might be shocked of how negative we are and how we're not edifying. It's verse 25, it says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. So the thought is, where am I going? Where am I heading, right? If I continue on this path, where will I land up? 26, mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. And you see, just that is a great text to do listening prayer. God, am I getting sidetracked? What am I pursuing right now? If I stay on course with what I'm feeding myself, where will I land up? I think it's important for us to do that, right? We like the end where we, our home is a nest and a haven and a place to be. But I've got to do this. I really got to do this. If I don't do that, I'll miss out on what God wants to do and what he wants to fulfill in my heart, you know? My last point here, we need to understand that we are in a battle and we are in a warfare. We need to understand the culture that we live in. We need to understand that we live in a culture where there's no absolute truth. You do whatever you want when you feel like it, and you just do according to your heart's desire. And I think that causes us and causes the world to crash and to find themselves in a swamp. We have to understand our inner desires, like it says in Proverbs 17, verse 9, when it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. I can't rely on my feelings. I can't rely on my feelings, you know? I look at some people treat marriage casually. It becomes a free-for-all where we do whatever we want and expect no consequences for our choices. It's like, I remember talking with this couple that were struggling, and I was saying to the husband, are you willing to fast for your marriage? Like, he looked at me like, what are you saying? Are you from another planet? No, are you willing to fast for your marriage? Wow. Right? How do I want my marriage to succeed? Like, is it in my heart? What am I willing to do to make it work? Right? And I think that we do treat marriage casually today. You know, we just do whatever we want. It's like someone who cheats on their spouse and still expect God to bless their new relationship. What a joke! Like you cheat on your spouse, and then you see, bless me, God, in the new relationship. No, it doesn't work like that. We live in such a loosey-goosey world, even in the church, where we don't follow the standards of God and we don't walk according to his wisdom. One of the things that we don't understand is that we are at war and there's a battle going over your marriage. And sometimes we treat marriage loosey-goosey. We're not aware of the battle. And you might not think that you're at war, but you are at war. And the main goal of the enemy is to sabotage your marriage and your family. And it's important for us to be aware of that. Well, I remember my mom when I was 20 years old, when I had to make decisions in my life. She fasted for 40 days. 40 days. Not saying that we should do the same, but she carried me in her heart because she fought for me. She did the battle for me as I was trying to navigate and know what to do. I was probably 19, 20. Like I look at that and I'm looking at her commitment for me. She understood that there was a battle going on over my head. She understood that the enemy wanted to kill the egg and the nest before it took off. She got that. And so she stood in the gap and she prayed and she interceded. I'm so challenged by that. Like, I look at my own family. I look at my marriage. I've got to fight for my marriage. I've got to pray, intercede for my marriage. I've got my kids, they're married, and I've got one son that doesn't follow the Lord. I want him to follow the Lord. I got to stand in the gap. I got to pray. I look at the marriage of my kids. I want to stand in the gap and see them prosper. Now I have grandkids. I'm called to intercede and pray for my grandkids. Stand in the gap, because there's a war going on, and who will stand in the gap? Who will be this godly example? Who will be standing in the gap in prayer? I've got to live a godly life because it's worship unto God, but also because it influences other people around me. I can't just treat my relationship wishy-washy because it has a domino effect. It really does. I look at Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. Catch the little foxes before they destroy the vineyard. Like, the enemy wants to send foxes in your vineyard and destroy the vineyard. That's what the enemy wants to do. So I need to realize that. In partnership class, someone told me, you know, my marriage is not doing good. Like, we're going to separate because we're not compatible. I said, wow. We would not be married today if it would be based on compatibility. I think most marriage would not work if we were not compatible because of compatibility. Like, my wife is a rock, I'm an explorer. I get bored very easy, but she holds me. So I bring her forward and she balances me. What a team. But as we connect, we realize how we are so different, but our differentness brings us together. And so there's a need for us to fight, to grow, to function together. It's a huge deal. And so I challenge you. What I really want to say to you this morning is I want you to realize there's a battle over your house. There's a battle over your home. And see it and understand it. Like, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and there's demonic forces against your family, against your marriage. And you know the biggest lie that the enemy wants us to believe that is that he doesn't exist. Like in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. I remember a preacher say this. He was saying, you know, the lion that wants to devour has no teeth. He has teeth. We see it in the church. One of the biggest challenges we face pastoring the church is marriage issue, relational issue, father and son issue, family things. So the devil has teeth. He's making his way, devouring family, killing families, you know? And so I've got to be self-controlled and alert. I've got to be aware. I've got to put my heart, my emotion in guard. I've got to let God in. I've got to open up to what he wants to do, because there's a battle going on and it has a domino effect and a ripple effect on others and also our testimony as believers. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And look what it says in verse 13. And don't let us yield to temptation, Father, but rescue us from the evil one. In the Lord's Prayer, rescue us of the evil one. It's a real battle. There's this real target of the enemy. It's you. Day and night, he works to separate you from your wife, your husband, your family, put division among the kids and so on, bring chaos in the family. Day and night, he works. So that's why we have this in the Lord's Prayer, that we would be aware of the spiritual battle that faces us in our relationships. So that's why we can't just coast and just, you know, just do life. We don't want to do life by default. We want to do it by design, to do it according to God's ways, and not just to drift and not just say, oh, well, I guess this is it. No, stand in the gap. Fight for what belongs to you. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Did you know there's schemes that the devil has for you and your marriage and for you and your kids, your household? There's schemes. He's at work. It's like the spider that's building a net, a web, one string at a time. One string at a time. We don't take him seriously. One string at a time. And at one point, you can see this fly hit the net, hit the net of the spider or the web. Bzz, gets caught. Got to be aware of his schemes. In verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against this, the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, because the day of evil will come, you may be able to stand your guard." And after you have done everything to stand, and it continues, it talks about the armor. That's the reality that we're in. We're in a battle. And so if I want to have a nest as my home, and if I want to see my home as a haven, it involves my participation. It starts by having Jesus in my life, because it's only him that can build a house. Secondly, it's to embrace wisdom. God, let me do life the way you want it. And God, give me the perseverance not to quit and to be aware that I have an enemy that I fight. God blesses the dwelling of the righteous. I look at Proverbs 3, verse 33, that's my prayer. The Lord curses on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. He blesses the dwelling of the righteous. And so God, I pray that in my heart, I would seek righteousness and I would be walking in righteousness and I would be a righteous man. Because here it says that God will bless the house of the righteous. And my challenge for you this morning is to say, God, help me see my relationship you, the way you see them, and empower me to do your will so that my house would be a haven, my house would be a nest, my house would be a home sweet home.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.